Oh, well, I wonder whether the CEO of Richmond has got one of his own games to vote on. Let's go to the headquarters of Gale Incorporated this morning. And Brendan Gale joins us. Hello, Brendan. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hello. Hello. Hello, gents. How are you?
We're good. Very well. Is there a game that you'd like to see, perhaps of your own?
No, not of my own. But I reckon up until last few years, my favourite game was actually the 2004 Grand Final, because that was the one where Brisbane were going for the three-peat and they were in all sorts of trouble. They were bruised and battered. I remember they brought the plane down at 10,000 feet because of Lappin's ribs. But I just thought the manner in which they played that first quarter, it's like they had one bullet in the chamber and they just fired it and eviscerated Collingwood. I thought that was just wonderful. How could I go past the 17 qualifying final against Geelong, Richmond v Geelong, a team that tormented us for years, and we'd lost three finals in a row. And then the very next week, we had 95,000 at the G against the Giants, probably 2,000 or 3,000 Giants supporters. The atmosphere was incredible. It was a pretty keenly fought game, to be honest, but they put us into our first grand final in 37 years.
What about some state games, Brendan, when you were representing Tasmania?
Yeah, it's a good point, Robbo. Yeah. Look, I was probably too young to remember. I only played 5 or 6 games, but I did play at a state game in 1990 versus Victoria at North Hobart Oval, which is a beautiful, it's the home of Tasmania football and amphitheatre sort of type atmosphere. And we beat Victoria. It was only the second time in the state's history. In fact, the first time my father played in that team. So there was that sentiment involved as well. Beat Victoria North Hobart 1990. Probably didn't really appreciate it at the time, but looking back, it was a pretty big deal. Fair to say we weren't probably playing Victoria's best team, but we overlooked that. We don't care about that.
getting on to current matters then, Brendan. Obviously, there's so many things as any club CEO is dealing with at the moment. What is the most pressing for you right now?
Gee, hello, you've brought me back to earth, mate. I could have talked about footy all day long. But, at the end of the day, it's up until the AFL was able to secure that line of credit, I mean, the industry and clubs were fighting for survival. Now, we weren't necessarily fighting for our survival, but we were in a fierce fight for our future. And so, having to sort of make some really hard decisions around people who have given so much to our club and will continue to do so, but having making really hard decisions to sort of maintain the viability of the club in the short term, but ultimately to protect jobs long term, that was really, really hard. So I think, the AFL and Gil have done a wonderful job at securing credit. It's a real challenge. Yeah, football clubs are like families, and I guess the impact of what you do is very upfront. It's very personal.
Brendan, can I ask you, we've read in the paper this morning that Gill and the AFL are more than likely to step in if they're going to make the donation, the requisite money towards the clubs. They're going to have a fair hand in the running of those clubs. Is that something you would say, okay, we open the doors, you're helping us stay afloat, this is a cash injection we so desperately need? Are you coming from an area where you've been in debt and you've managed yourselves so, so well, is that something you'd welcome, or do you reckon you're steering the ship all right as is?
Well, we've had to beg for money, Derm, and we've living hand to mouth at our footy club was an experience not that long ago. So, we worked very, very hard to build our organisation, to build our finances, to build our balance sheet, and ultimately to sustain on field, but also to protect us during difficult times. So, we're very happy to work with the AFL, and at the end of the day, the AFL has got to run the competition in the best interest in the competition. We're grateful to be part of it. But there's some things that we want to do to maintain our competitiveness as well, but by and large, there's an incredible amount of collaboration and goodwill to work together as an industry to get us through this period. Now, if that means a bit more transparency, a bit more openness, and the AFL has a few more controls applicable, so be it.
Brendan, how will you maintain, you've got that excess spend you're talking about, you've got money in the bank, you're one of the wealthier clubs in the competition right now. How will you maintain the ability to turn that or convert that cash into roles in your football club? Given the cap now or the restriction on spend for your football department, you just can't go and add roles and add positions. How will you see that playing out?
No, well, it's a really delicate exercise because... You know, we've got to make decisions as I said to sort of protect the ongoing viability of the club from a financial point of view. But you know, we worked very hard to get ourselves in a position of strength on field, and that's based on a program that where we prioritise certain things over others because we know they work for us, and we've learnt that through struggle and through success and failure, and those things are important, and we invest in those. And right now, with all these cuts, it makes it really, really hard to maintain that program. But it's just simply about identifying what are the things that are absolutely critical to the way we do business in a footy club, what's critical to our competitive advantage, and just fighting as hard as we can within the confines or the rules to protect those. It's a balancing act.
So are you worried then this is going to bring you back to the field in some ways?
Oh, look, I, in one respect, I am, Hutto, because, I feel right now we've got ourselves in a position of strength off the field, and that's sustained a level of performance on the field. You know, that's got us to a high level, but sustained that. And so I'd like to think, you know, look at our list and our list profile, and you'd like to think, you know, we're going to be around the mark for a little while competing at the highest level. So, and it's probably fair to say we're at the upper end of the soft cap. We are willing to invest in those things, Hutto, and because we thought they were worthwhile. And now, you know, for the remainder of the season, the salary cap's been significantly reduced. So in one respect, you think, yeah, some of those advantages might be gone, but I think that the biggest strength is our culture, and it's our connection with each other. It's our ability to take a performance mindset in everything they do. It's to control what you control, to not so worry about the things you can't control. And maybe this might provide us with even greater opportunity. You know, I'm confident our guys will make good out of this. We'll find a way to make good out of this, and I think we'll be well placed to come out the other side.
How important is it, Benny? And it's a really intriguing discussion about clubs like Richmond who have worked so hard to get yourself in that position, but there's other clubs... Some are flailing, but you know, some aren't in your position. How imperative is it that the clubs stick together and not, you know, the wealthier clubs get angry or get frustrated that you're in a better position than others? How important is it through this next period, be it 6 months, 18 months, that these clubs stick together and not become selfish, if that's the right word?
Oh, it's absolutely critical, Robbo, because, you know, we're a proud club and we're a very strong club on the field and off the field, but we've done it the hard way. And so we don't take our position for granted. You know, we've done it the hard way. But we also recognise that we're just one part of a competition, and without the competition, we're nothing, essentially. And it's the great rivalries and it's the great teams and the great traditions and, you know, a team like the GWS... You know, only been here for a blink of an eye, but already building a tradition against them and, you know, great finals and et cetera. So at the end of the day, yes, we can be really narrow and focused on our own clubs and our own futures, but really at the end of the day, without the competition, we're nothing.
Benny, can I ask you, you're involved in these meetings, they're at a high level. Is there any evidence around the world where a soft cap and a restriction on what you spend on your coaching staff actually enhances the competition or works?
Yes, I think so. I think if you look at, look at America, for example, and that's where we look to a lot of the elite sports and the way they manage. I mean, this is the sharp end of capitalism, the land of the free, a free enterprise, but their commitment to, I guess, to revenue sharing and, not so much to caps, but, to revenue sharing and other things to support competitive balance are much, much deeper than probably the AFL, much deeper. So, you know, look at the NFL, high degrees of competitive balance. NBA, You know, I think that's probably something where, look, I think the competition's in great shape. Uncertainty of outcome, you know, I mean, on any given Saturday, any given Sunday, you to come with the right frame of mind, you'll be beaten. And so I think you know, we're certainly moving towards that high level of competitive balance.
Benny, as you sit here today, what's your position or what's your knowledge of a VFL or a second tier competition next year?
I don't have any knowledge. All I know is it's suspended to the 31st of May. And that's all we know. And all I know is that if the AFL has a loan of $600 million, which we have to service as an industry, because we own that liability as an industry, as clubs, that money's got to come from somewhere. It's inevitable that distributions will be reduced significantly. And so it's inevitable that our businesses are going to have to change. So what that means and what sorts of things you prioritise over others, I don't know. I guess our focus right now is the immediate challenges of addressing those right now and hopefully getting a season underway a little later in the year. But there's going to be a lot of things on the table.
One of those things, and I don't want you to make a choice here because I want to bring up AFLW, and you know, some people don't follow it. A lot of people do. It's been the best thing that's happened to Australian rules football, I think, for a very, very long time. If the AFL asked you about, you know, keeping the AFLW competition going, are you emphatic that it must keep going, or has that come under the umbrella of, you know, things have to change? We've got to work through a lot of areas of our industry.
No, I'm a buyer, Robbo. It's our first year this year. Probably not the year we wanted to have on field, but probably not unexpected given the evolution of our program. You know, I saw the improvements it's made to our club internally, let alone our ability to present our club in different ways to the country, to a marketplace, to sponsors, to members. So I just saw incredible improvement in terms of the ability and teams throughout the season. So, you know, I was interested in a comment that was attributed to Lee Matthews, and it might have been made many years ago. I'm not sure it was current, but he said, it's interesting, whereas AFL is the biggest sport in this country, or the biggest, you know, on almost any measure, and yet increasingly it's become a finishing school. That's an interesting comment. And, you know, when you think so much of our time and effort and resources and money is putting into developing young athletes to get to the elite level, rather than bringing them as elite, if you know what I mean, unlike, yep, say, some of the American sports programs, the NFL, for example. So I thought that was an interesting way to look at things. We've just taken on more and more and more because that's what we do. We run elite sporting programs, and I'm not quite sure whether it's sustainable in the long term.
So on that note, and we, while I was on air last night, we discussed that we're the only sport in the world, elite football in code, that the drafts young men on suspicion that they're going to be very, very good. So we've got an under 18 competition. We did away with the development league, which was the reserves of the VFL, so to speak. Which was essentially almost an under 22 competition. So we've pushed apart the goalposts of where we draw from in terms of breeding schools. So it's all up to the AFL. Now that we strip back, and we will strip back prior to season 2021, is there a chance, Brendan, to actually reshape that school that the young players, the young men, young women go through before they get to AFL and walk through the door of an AFL club?
I think everything's on the table, Derm. I think this is such a, I mean, this is such a, an incredible, it's just an existential threat, it's a shock to our system. And sometimes it's these shocks that have created great organisations and great technologies and great nations, the rise and fall of empires, etc.
Yep.
Turn on these types of events. So I think it's an opportunity to look root and branch at some of these things. And, you know, I guess the comment I made was a general one. And, you know, we take on more and more development because we're actually good at it. Clubs are good at developing potential and developing young men and women as people, as leaders and as athletes. But there's going to be some hard choices. I mean, I look at the biggest story of last year's grand final was Marlon Pickett. You know, and I just wonder, I'm concerned, if we're going to make really hard choices and priorities, clubs won't be able to take those risks. Clubs won't have those environments where you can, or the resources to bring on those sorts of people to develop and grow and realise their potential.
Brendan, you talked earlier about your Tasmanian heritage. You're involved with Tassie and the possibility of them having an AFL team. Do you think this helps or hinders that possibility and the timeline?
Look, I haven't thought about it in the context of the now, Hutto. Look, I'm a supporter of Tasmania. I believe they have a legitimate right to have a team. I guess I've probably tend to overlook some of the financial economic factors in that discussion, more of an emotional one. And, you know, I think they've got a legitimate right. I think for a national competition, it'd be great to have every sort of state represented, particularly such a rich state in terms of producing footballers. But I guess the reality is money does matter now, mate. It's about finance and about economics and about sustainability. And so that needs to be taken into account.
Brendan, you're involved in the committees that formed, you know, groups of half a dozen CEOs, presidents, financial officers, those sorts of things. And information sharing was right through the clubs. It was fantastic. Can you tell us some of the things that come from those meetings? And you talked about the financial situations of individual clubs. Were you shocked at how different clubs are, or are they relatively similar in how they operate and what were you able to achieve from that?
No, they're remarkably similar. I mean, I think that the collaboration in the context of these times has probably been a bit overstated, Kingy, because really there's a lot of collaboration that exists anyway. I mean, there's a lot of argy-bargy and clubs are pushing their own barrows, of course, as you'd expect, but by and large, the real fierce competition is only confined to the field. You know, it's a couple of hours each week. There's always a lot of information sharing as a code, as an industry. How can we be better? How can we engage and service our members and fans better? How can we work with the broadcasters? How can we, et cetera, sports medicine, et cetera, et cetera. Look, clearly there's been a renewed focus. But we're so competitive, but I think that the time, it's not the time for one-upmanship. It's all about, you know, going with a uniform approach to dealing with our members, to sort of, you know, working with media to try and get us through this period and get 18 clubs out in reasonable shape without taking on too much water. It's been great. It's been refreshing and it really does, I guess, highlight some of the good work that does go behind the scenes.
Don't want to go back, Brendan, but you said something then I think might have gone straight through to the keeper. Marlon Pickett was one of the great stories in the history of footy last year, and now you just told us 3 minutes ago that similar stories to Marlon Pickett won't happen again because now there's going to be cost-cutting and the support networks are not going to be in place for people. And you said for clubs taking that risk, because a lot of clubs overlook Marlon Pickett, you took the risk and you were rewarded. And now you're telling us now that these kinds of stories could disappear from AFL footy.
I think it's a risk. I think as we try and forge a way forward in anticipation of significant reductions in revenue, clubs are going to have to really prioritise, and the AFL prioritise, I guess, the non-negotiables in I guess, the football ecosystem. Now, that part, that paternal care, that player development, you know, personal growth, professional, that's a real core part of what we do. But we've got the financial resources to be able to invest in that and develop that, which gives us the ability to take a Marlon Pickett, who I might add we did overlook in earlier drafts, just at last year when the mid-season draft gave us the opportunity. So other clubs may not be in that position. The AFL may see fit to do different things with the state-based comps or pathways. So we've just got to be really careful. And at the end of the day, you know, we just develop great people. That's what we do, develop not just great athletes, great people. And I'm afraid, I do worry that some of those opportunities might be lost.
Clearly we love a stroll down memory lane, Brendan, and hence the 50-50 games we're going to put to air. Tell me, what happened to Michael Butchgale, your brother, has he had a haircut yet? Is he still in the surfing industry? Is he shaping boards? What's he up to? We don't know where he's been for 20 years.
Well, he's a plumber, Derm, but he's still very much in the surfing industry, which probably says he's not doing too much plumbing. He's around. He's got two young boys and he's got his own small business, still loves a wave. And mate, you imagine the amount of people come up to me and say, how's your younger brother going? And I say, first, he's my older brother. He's, I've always thought you're older because you wear a suit or something like that. But, and then the next thing he says, they say, is he still playing? And I said, no.
He's still 51. Playing.
He's 51. Why would he still? I think to some people, time freezes.
Yeah, with the hair
the
as well.
The third one is he's still got his hair long? I said, no, he hasn't had his hair long for about 30 years. But anyway, he's going well.
Hey, good. Brandon, before we let you go, we know you're you run Richmond, you're one of the most powerful men in footy, but you don't run your household. Jane does that. So how's it going?
Well, he's not cleaning the windows behind him, Hutto, if you have a good look.
Your garden looks very green behind you. I don't know if you strategically put us in this position, but how's things going at home with you there all the time?
How do you reckon it's going, mate?
You don't want me to answer that.
No. No. I can't win here. No, in all seriousness, if there is a silver lining, this incredible gloomy cloud is, you know, footy does consume you, and it really just take everything out of you, and you pay a price for that sometimes, and so often it's your family. So to be able to be home and, you know, working very, very hard, but have a kick with the kids or a cup of tea with the wife, it is refreshing. I think it might have its use by date coming up. But the kids are finding it pretty tough at the moment. So as all kids would during this time of holidays, but they're tough times. But you've got to make the best of it.
Yep, beautifully answered. Very, very carefully, but beautifully answered. Hey, Brendan, really appreciate your time and great insight into what you're facing in clubland and everyone's facing in the game. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brendan.